Numbers 15. The first section here talks about the grain offering. When you've come into the land of your habitations, which I give to you, and you want to make an offering by fire to Yahweh, like a burnt offering or a freewill offering, to make a pleasant aroma to Yahweh, then you must offer a grain offering of a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with the fourth part of a hin of oil, wine for the drink offering, the fourth part of a hin, for each sacrifice. So, I think the idea is that they would naturally want to make a freewill offering, and so should we. We should at times just want to offer, I want to give you something, God. And that is a pleasant aroma to Yahweh. It smells nice to him. Whatever offerings they made, even if it was a huge, expensive animal, they were to always offer with it a very small amount of grain mixed with a little bit of oil and also wine. Well, they were to offer this flour, basically, and wine. Very small parts. I think the idea was that you must always remember, God wanted them to understand, you must always remember, no matter how big your sacrifice, I'm actually more interested in the little things. Don't forget the little things. And of course the bread, the flour is what you make bread from. The bread and the wine, of course, make us think about the breaking of bread. And the question is, well, where is the sacrifice that we're offering? Well, you could say it's Jesus, but it's also us. It's what we are bringing to God, that you come to the breaking of bread to offer yourself to God. And the bread and wine is like this flour and wine that always had to be offered along with the bigger sacrifice. And we should be, as Paul says, it's our logical service to offer ourselves completely to God. But don't forget the small sacrifice. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, you shall offer up a wave offering to Yahweh. When you shall err and not observe all the commands spoken to Moses, then it shall be, if it is done unknowingly, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bull for a burnt offering, for a pleasant aroma to Yahweh, and one male goat for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement, and they shall be forgiven. So it's quite clear that sins of ignorance done unknowingly still required atonement. If one person sins unknowingly, he shall offer a female goat of a year old for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for the person who errs when he sins unknowingly, to make atonement for him before Yahweh, and he shall be forgiven. So quite clearly, sins of ignorance are still sins. God still feels them. If I stand on your foot, by mistake, not realizing I am standing on your foot, I have still hurt you, and I still need to try to put things right with you. And we must realize the sensitivity of God. And if you love God, you don't want to hurt God. And you'll be like David, who says, show me your law, teach me your law. Show me how I should live. Show me what hurts you and what is wrong and what is right. And yet the fact we sin ignorantly, and maybe we don't understand all the sins we do, I'm sure we don't. This helps us, I think, in dealing with other people who sin unknowingly against us. David says, forgive me for my secret sins. In other words, forgive me, God, please, for the sins I do that I don't realize I do. Well, that means that God is forgiving us despite the fact that we have not specifically repented. And that helps us, I think, in forgiving other people who don't get it, who don't realize that what they're doing to us is so hurtful and is so wrong. They honestly don't appear to get it. Well, I think you still have to forgive them because God likewise forgives you. But the soul who does anything in presumption, knowing it's wrong but just does it, the same blasphemes Yahweh, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of Yahweh and has broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. And then there's an example of this. They found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. Those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron, and they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Yahweh said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death." So all the congregation brought him outside of the camp and stoned him to death with stones. Now that was an example of the sin of presumption, where you know you are not to do this and you go ahead and do it because you think, "I don't care, I despise the things of God." Now there's a difference between that sort of sin and sin of weakness, that like Paul says, "I do that which I hate and I wish that I didn't do it." That's different. "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them that they should make themselves fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put on the fringe of each border a cord of blue." Now the blue might have been meant to represent the sky, heaven, God. "It shall be to you for a fringe, that you may look on it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and you do not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God." There's little things like that, like wearing wristbands, for example, what would Jesus do? Things like that, which are helpful in the daily round of life, that we should, like Paul, be able to remember, as he says, whose I am and whom I serve. You need to just have little things like that that remind you. And the fringes of blue were, I think, just a reminder in daily life that God is above. I am responsible to him. And we would do well, and we can discuss little things that we might be able to work out in life. Let's say wristbands, I think, are a typical example. Just little things like that, which bring us back to God and to our responsibility to him in the daily round of life.